Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 4th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with all the day's agricultural news, including news that the snoops at the CIA think ethanol's just great. But not so great if it's only made from corn. And Iowa Senator Charles Grassley has decided to prove a point to the EPA. He's invited the top dog there out to his farm to watch soybean harvest. Why? Well, because it's dusty. Oh, and don't forget that after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. And along the way, we'll check in with the Farm Doc folks to see what they were up to in the month of September. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialist, on the web at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, it was a wild and woolly day at the end of the day. December futures in the wheat pit leading the way upward. $4.65, their settlement price at 25.5 cents higher. March futures 23 cents higher at $4.79.5. December corn futures at $2.75 and a quarter, rather 74 and a quarter, up 10 and a quarter for the day. And the March contract at $2.87.5, up 9.5 cents. May futures $2.96, they were 10.5 higher. And the December contract for next year up 7.5 cents at $3.13 and 1 quarter. November soybeans $5.55 and a quarter, 12 and 3 quarters higher. January futures at $5.69.5, up 12 and a quarter. And the March contract at $5.81 a bushel, up 12 and a quarter. November beans for next year, $6.15, up 10.5 cents. October bean meal, $1.65. They were up $4.60 for the day. October bean oil at $23.52, up 24 cents. Feeder cattle over at the Mercantile Exchange, October contract $112.92, they're off 42.5. October live cattle at $90.37.5, down 27.5. And December futures off 17.5. At $89.27.5. October lean hog $64.52.5, or up 2.5 cents for the day. Outside markets, crude oil futures $59.45 a barrel, up 77 cents at this hour. The CRB index at 297.18, they're up 2.05, and the dollar at 85.87, up 0.16. The Dow at 11,821, now up right at 94 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on this good day at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Hi, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. It's quite a day in Wall Street, LaSalle Street, and Central Illinois as beans and wheat, corn surge higher, the stock market's moving higher. And I would say Drummer Flanagan farmland in Central Illinois is at least $25 to $50 an acre more valuable today.
You know, I bet the farmers, as they're headed to the grain elevators and their bins, are waving a lot faster and a big smile on their face today. Tell me about this marketplace.
It's a tip of the hat to, the things are maybe working, we hope. You know, during the day, we did see the announcement early in the morning that Saudi Arabia was going to keep pumping oil at their present pace. Beans and corn dropped off a little bit, and then we saw beans rally and wheat take off. EDF Man bought over 4,000 contracts of wheat. Also, we got the feeling that there was export business to Egypt, other business pending, dry conditions, of course, in the Australia area, and the wheat market was a big player. The soybean market, there was a story that rust in Mississippi beans rallied well. There was maybe some rumors of some export business, and of course corn came in and closed extremely well. Crude oil was lower. It shot up on reports of some problems with Nigeria. Bernanke came in and basically talked about the U.S. economy, and so it was a major day today in the commodity and stock markets in the United States.
Corn futures making their way to two-year highs today in Chicago, but they didn't start off that great this morning. They were a little bit lower on the open.
Mark
in
Tepper,
fact.
Tim Kaine, talking
yeah,
about sports.
You know, right one side Saturday deal in Inform is going to come out, I think, a Thursday morning.
The online entertainment at the Herald Review.
It looks like tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. on their guest estimate of production. Corn was stronger. Overnight trade was good, dropped off, and then didn't come back. You know, we are in harvest. Crop, you know, the corn isn't in too good a shape, still carrying a lot of moisture. We think that there is the whisper out there that at least the Illinois-Indiana crop is probably a little bit high by the USDA. The corn stock quality, we think, is also a factor. The crop ratings were better this last weekend, but you know, when we go down driving down the road, it sure looks kind of rough out there, and the farmer does have a job to do, and that's harvest this crop. And beans are they're combining beans today, fast and furious. They're hard to combine, but they're going after it, and yields are good to excellent.
You know, it's pretty easy to get bulled up. A lot of people have done that over the last year and a half. Talking about ethanol, we turn around and we have a good day, 10 and a quarter cents higher in the middle of harvest, and we're not even halfway done yet. What does this all mean, and should you be bulled up about the corn market, and what do you do about beans?
Well, you know, you mentioned, I was listening as I was driving down the road yesterday, and you mentioned that can markets really rally at harvest time in 1948 when the government lifted the ceiling prices after World War II. We had beans up a buck and corn up substantially. In the 1970s, we saw the Russians come in and buy vast amounts of corn, soybeans, and wheat. We saw markets rally. We saw 1974. The frost deal, and of course we are seeing this dynamic change in the marketplace where the market does need more corn next year, and it does cost a lot of money to plant a bushel of corn or an acre of corn, and the ethanol demand has basically changed the landscape. When we talked to lenders, they said farmers want to buy bins. We talked to salesmen, they said they're going to buy bins. And so, you know, there's been a lot of new storage put in. Can prices go down? Sure. But there seems to be a lot more stability out in the countryside than there was 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And that's what's giving the marketplace and the farmers, to some extent, a little more purpose. And, you know, I was kidding you before we came on the air, and I think that's one reason why we have to say that the 2002 farm bill has probably been a big stabilizer in getting this transition from low prices to market prices.
Yeah, speaking of that bill, I want to talk just a little bit about cash prices and really what's happening in farm country. As we talk about these larger numbers, really, the farmer's net income or gross income may not be that much bigger, at least at this point, unless cash prices really grow, because they're not going to get an LDP. The countercyclical payment may not be there, and there'll be a lot of government payment that you have to make up in the cash market.
Well, you know, that's true, and that's the reason why we are seeing the farmer basically tell us when we're out at these farmer meetings that we want a farm bill, and the 2002 farm bill is probably the best bill that we could have out there to support, this production agriculture. The second thing is that, there's not going to be a big GRIP insurance policy premium. There's some debate on some certain counties will get that, but, you know, as a general rule, that's not going to happen. But we are looking at basically a better balance sheet, and that's what the bottom line is. And basically we've forced Brazil to cut bean acres, and that's good news for the U.S. farmer. And I think that's one reason why we're seeing, even with these record yields of, you know, 60-plus bushels an acre being harvested in central Illinois, that beans were able to still stay higher today.
Okay, and finally, what move are you making in the marketplace for corn and for wheat today? And in wheat in particular, I want to know what
you're selling. Well, the trend and fundamentals are very friendly, Todd, and I've been an advocate of follow the trend and the fundamentals. And the same way with corn, I think that, you know, there's better times yet to come, and, you know, the people that know how to manage their crop are the ones that are going to be able to make the big hit, and that's what we hope for in production agriculture. And you know, I'm glad that you know, the trend is up today.
All right, Paul, we appreciate being with us.
Have a good day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, and joined us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Wednesday afternoons.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Well, if you're in the field this afternoon and looking forward to what's going to happen, you'll be pleased in the northern part of Illinois. It should be mostly clear tonight in central sections and northern Indiana. Just a few showers possible this evening. Then becoming partly cloudy elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. A few showers and thunderstorms, though. Not anything very heavy. Lows ranging from 40 in northwestern Illinois to 58 in the south. Tomorrow in northern and central sections, partly to mostly sunny. The south, a few lingering showers during the morning. Otherwise, partly to mostly cloudy. Highs will range tomorrow from 57 in the north to 72 in southwestern Illinois. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take a complete look at today's agricultural news. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
In agricultural news, U.S. Central Intelligence Agency Director James Woolsey says the federal government needs to broaden its energy focus beyond corn ethanol. Woolsey says the U.S. will get closer to energy independence only if cellulosic ethanol and other fuels that use biomass and agricultural waste are developed. Woolsey says that the U.S. will borrow about $320 billion this year to import foreign oil, which weakens the U.S. dollar. Woolsey says development of hybrid cars that use electricity and gasoline would give the U.S. leverage against oil-supplying nations. The administrator of the EPA will tour with Iowa Senator Charles Grassley to see how new dust restrictions will impact agriculture. Grassley says EPA Administrator Stephen Johnson will watch soybean harvest on the Grassley homestead.
I hope he can get out here before bean harvest is over, because obviously there's a lot more dust from bean harvest than there is from corn harvest. But I think it'll give him a chance to see firsthand what his rule could do to the American farmer if you couldn't harvest soybeans when the wind's blowing more than 2 miles an hour. And soybeans have to be combined within a five-day period of time when they're ready.
Officials at the EPA say they don't think farmers will be affected by the decision, which reduces the legal limits for coarse and fine-grain particulate. But yesterday, Grassley said there's no guarantee that farmers will not find themselves in court.
The bottom line of it is, farmers are going to be subject to lawsuits, even if people in EPA in 2006 says they aren't going to be affected. I listen to the same argument since farmers have been subject to lawsuit under the Superfund bill. I was in Congress in 1979 in the House of Representatives when Superfund passed, and we were told then that it was going to apply to agriculture, and now farmers are being sued under Superfund. And the same way with this EPA regulation. They're telling me, well, farmers won't have to be worried about being sued in Iowa because we have no non-containment areas here. But who knows 25 years from now what we might have. And I can't be worried about agriculture just in Iowa. There's agriculture in California that could be affected by this right now.
EPA's final ruling dropped exemptions for agriculture and mining. USDA will pay $1.8 billion in rent to Conservation Reserve Program participants in fiscal year 2007, which began on October 1st. The average earning for an enrolled farm this year is $4,143. The National Agricultural Statistics Service says the October crop production report will include updated acreage estimates from farmers in some states hit by drought. Dry weather in Alabama, Georgia, and South Dakota has led NAS to request farmers update harvested acres for numerous crops, including corn and soybeans. Meanwhile, drought and extreme heat have again led USDA to announce a number of disaster declarations. Yesterday, USDA added 35 Nebraska counties and 20 Texas counties to the designation list. And Brazilian ethanol exports for September were up 37% from a year ago. The Foreign Trade Secretariat says Brazil shipped 364 million liters of ethanol in September, compared with 266 million liters in September 2005. But Brazil's September ethanol exports were down 24% from August. Local traders in Brazil have warned of a fault for the balance of the year as the U.S. harvest moves into full swing and U.S. ethanol plants come online. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. I've got to talk about this one just a little bit. It's another news note. The University of Illinois is once again being recognized as number one in the nation, this time in the field of agricultural and biological engineering. The ABE undergraduate program has been ranked the best in the United States by the U.S. News and World Report magazine. The 2007 edition of America's Best Colleges, published each year by U.S. News and World Report, placed Illinois in the top spot, followed by Texas A&M and the University of California, Davis. Our congratulations to the folks over in ABE, the Agricultural and Biological Engineering Department at the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Well, up next, about once a month, the Ag Economist at the University of Illinois release a facts and opinions paper on a current topic. In September, the U of I faculty pushed two farm facts and opinions articles out the door. One of the two FEFOs of Farm Economics Facts and Opinions papers takes up where the acreage shifts from soybeans to corn might occur in the Midwest. We'll get to that in a moment. The other deals with a more pressing topic, how much a custom farm operation should cost. Those numbers have been updated for 2006, and the increases range between 11 and 44%, depending upon the operation. The machinery cost to combine corn or soybeans is up 11% from last year at $34.50 an acre for corn and $29.20 an acre for soybeans, using a six-row corn head and a 20-foot grain platform. Most everything else went up more than that. There's a 25% jump in the cost to chisel plow, now pegged at $13.40 an acre. And the biggest jump listed, with a 44% increase, is to run a field cultivator at $8.90 an acre. There are three primary reasons for the cost increases. The price of diesel has climbed a dollar in the last year. The list price for new machinery is higher than last year. And the interest rate charged by the U of I increased by half a percentage point. You can find a complete listing of machinery cost estimates on the University of Illinois Farm Doc website at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. Now, while you're there and in the management section looking for the machinery cost, you might want to read the latest information on the profitability of corn versus soybeans in the Midwest. U of I Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke has co-authored a couple of papers on the topic. The first shows that it only takes a cash price of about $2.50 to $2.60 to make corn more profitable than $6 soybeans. The second shows how many counties in the Midwest where this break-even price applies.
What we did was we also looked at, took this break-even prices and looked at it using county yields and saw, all right, these counties would look like their switch would be desirable, if you will, switching from more corn to soybeans. What that's going to show is that most counties, given average county yields, and you know farms will vary from that, but a lot of counties will find it advantageous in the to switch to more corn.
You can find the paper and some really interesting graphics that illustrate the potential for corn in the Midwest on the FarmDoc website at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened in the cash grain market for this Wednesday is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Hi, Kay.
Hi, Todd.
Wow, what a day at the Chicago Board of Trade. The cash market's going to follow.
Yes, we certainly did. Basis levels, you know, we're going to continue to slip these basis levels into our harvest lows wherever they may be, but there's still a tad bit of a premium up there, and most of it's being stuck away in bins, so it hasn't eroded as much as I thought it would, but wow, what a day, and who knows why. There's just so much emotion in this market. It's just hard to say when there's going to be a sell-off, but I still think there will be someday.
I know you do. I know you do. It's one of those things where you just have to sit back and enjoy the ride, I think. What are farmers telling you when they call in? And my guess is that they're telling more than they're asking. Is that right?
What I'm being told by the farmer is more of a lamenting about past things that they've done, because you know when we run this market up before, they really were very diligent in forward contracting corn especially, and now then it's like, gee, many Christmas, I thought my 220 or 225 or 230 looked really good. What do I do now? So it's a matter of where do they go now when they've got all this stuff contracted? So, you know, there's a lot of guys glad that it's doing what it's doing, and then a lot of guys aren't. So there's mixed emotions, Todd.
You able to help out those guys on the lower end?
Well, we try our best to, but, you know, it's just kind of hard to say. They can just have to protect themselves whatever way they can, and there's been a lot more accounts set up with brokers this year, I think, because you know, you need to do paper, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, when the whole world is bullish, you know, it's a little bit scary, you know. It really is.
Yeah, indeed. But there is an awful lot of grain that's going to have to be used by the ethanol industry. And we've got an awful lot of grain out there, I suppose, as well. It'll be interesting to watch it as it all plays out. And I'm glad I get to sit on the sidelines and talk about it, not actually have to have it my back pocket depend on it so much, because it looks like a rough ride to me.
Well, and you know, really, it's going to be wild. It's going to be fun in a way, but it's going to be nerve-wracking in a way. But even our ConAgra people are talking about like a 974 million corn carryout next year. So all things remaining equal, yeah, it's going to be a fun thing to watch.
What are your bids for the day?
All right, cash corn today, that's a this week bid, is 248. Our all fall corn is 242. Spot beans, 515. All fall, 509. Next year's new crop wheat is 402.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Weather about the agricultural weather forecast. Drew Lerner about the agricultural weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. U.S. Senator Barack Obama says House Speaker Dennis Hastert should be stripped of his leadership position if an investigation shows he didn't act promptly after learning of explicit messages that former Congressman Mark Foley sent to teenagers. The Illinois Democrat says that also applies to any other House leader who might have shrugged off Republican Mark Foley's messages, including Illinois Congressman John Shimkus, who chairs the House Page Board. Meanwhile, Shimkus says he takes issue with those who suggest he did not thoroughly investigate Foley's emails. The Collinsville Republican tells KMOX Radio of St. Louis that he was respecting the wishes of the boys' parents, when he spoke with Foley privately about the matter last fall and told Foley to stay away from the teen. Shimka says he got no information that that intervention did not work. A non-clerical workers' union will spend the next few days mulling over the latest contract offer from the University of Illinois. U of I negotiators presented AFSCME Local 698 with what it called its best and final offer at a bargaining session yesterday. U of I spokesperson Robin Kaler says the three-year proposal was retroactive to August of last year when the old contract expired. Local 698 Vice President Margaret Lewis says the new offer is better than one the university proposed last year. She says the union's executive committee will discuss the offer in a meeting tomorrow. The Illinois State Board of Education has picked a new company to handle the delivery and scoring of standardized tests used in Illinois schools. Pearson Education Measurement has been awarded the contract, which is worth nearly $33 million. The Indiana Department of Natural Resources hopes to reduce the state's population of mute swans by non-lethal means. The DNR will destroy nests and use other methods to stop eggs from hatching. Swans are not native to Indiana and can be aggressive to people and other birds. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather forecast. Had a little bit of rain. Hasn't really kept farmers out of the field. Will they continue to harvest through the next few days?
It actually looks like an ever-improving forecast here. We've seen a couple of weather systems lose their punch in the forecast department this week. A storm system that was expected this weekend continues to show signs of weakening. Each new model run comes out and suggests less precipitation will occur. This is a storm system that's supposed to evolve out there in the plains this weekend and move to the east during the late weekend, early part of next week. Right now, it does not look like there's enough moisture being advertised that there'll be any kind of significant interruption to field work. But if there is, it's only going to last for a few hours, and that's going to be the extent of it. There was another storm system that was advertised for the middle part of next week, and that storm has also been downplayed in the last couple of days, and the outlook is favorable for continued good field working conditions at that point in time as well. Our temperatures aren't going to be excessively cool anytime real soon, and that's a kind of a bonus as well. Our evaporation rates will stay high. For those areas that are still a little bit too wet out there, we're going to see a nice steady drying trend between the warm weather and breezy conditions and lower relative humidity. It should all add up to a little bit of a faster field working pace.
Everybody will be concerned fairly quickly about getting anhydrous ammonia on after they get the harvest done. Usually we need soil temperatures around 50 degrees. That happens normally about the third week of October, but it sure doesn't look like it's going to cool down that quick. What are we talking about in terms of how quickly that might happen?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. It's something that won't be quite in place by that point in time. Our temperature bias here for the next 2 weeks is definitely going to have a continued warmer bias. We will expect some cooling to take place in our second week of the two-week forecast, but those cooler temperatures probably aren't going to bring those soil temperatures down to the point where that application can be made. But I think as we do get a little bit deeper into October and early November, we'll be able to see that threshold met. November itself ought to be a lot cooler month, and I think that should get us in a situation where we can go ahead and apply those fertilizer. And I think at this point the odds are very good that November, late October and early November weather probably won't be excessively wet either. I think we'll see a much more persistent, drier than usual bias here for a while, and that is mainly the byproduct of El Nino.
Just about the time anhydrous starts to be applied in the Midwest, that third week of October, the planters begin to roll in South America. How are they set up?
Everything looks pretty good now. It's raining across Argentina. We've had two or three days of shower and thunderstorm activity in Argentina. This country was excessively dry prior to this last Sunday, and the situation is reversing itself rather impressively right now. We've seen anywhere from 1 to 3 inches of rain in portions of Argentina's crop country, and it looks as though the forecast for the next week to 10 days is going to be much improved with a lot less precipitation, which will be good for planting. Now, Argentina, of course, is interested in getting their corn and sunseed crops in the ground after a couple of weeks of almost no field work whatsoever because of extremely dry conditions. In Brazil, of course, it's soybean planting time, and that's where all the interest is. Soybeans going into the ground in northern portions of that country will probably advance relatively well. Now, some of those northern areas are not going to see normal rainfall. There will actually be near to below average precipitation over the next couple of weeks, and that trend may actually persist for an extended period on into the latter part of October. And if that's the case, we may have some slow emergence and uneven stands out that way with the northern part of Brazil's crop. Now, southern areas in Brazil probably won't get going aggressively on soybean planting until we get to the latter part of October, but right now it's going to be a very wet 2 or 3 week period coming up here, so pre-planting field work in the south is not likely to advance very well. And for those farmers that are trying to plant their corn crop, that obviously won't be able to be completed until we get into a drier bias pattern, and I don't see that coming for a while.
Thanks, Drew. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that's today's Closing Market Report. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the marketplace, and that you can pick up all our ag programming at WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.